The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. We do pray that you and yours are well. These are obviously very trying times, and each hour we begin with our impact segment, which is 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. Something that I began earlier this week, I just felt prompted to do it. We begin this hour each and every day on the program with prayer. Now, I began early this week. We have had pastors pray this week, and I have a wonderful friend on the line, a man many of us know and love. He's the president of Focus on the Family. For those of you listening in San Diego on AM 1210 K-Praise, we hear Focus 7:30 in the morning and at 12:30 in the afternoon here in Los Angeles on KKLA, 7:30 in the morning, Focus on the Family, as well as 11:30 in the morning. And Focus is doing a lot of different things, so I invited Jim back on the program. They have a new streaming service as well as other features. Jim Daly, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Jim, how are you?
Frank, I'm doing pretty well, thank you. And I hope you and your family are doing well as well.
We are indeed. And I'm grateful that this was somewhat last minute. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day. And before we get into Focus and new features and Focus at Home, would you lead us in prayer as we begin this hour?
Oh, it'd be a privilege. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we are heavy-hearted for our nation. This virus that's impacting so many people, the number of sick, the number that are dying. And Lord, we lift these families to you, those people that are impacted. We pray for them, for your peace, for your goodness to fill them. And Lord, we don't always understand why, but we do know in the valleys we become more aware of who we are, our character, our concerns, those fears and anxieties. And Lord, with all of it, you ask us to cast it upon you, and that we trust in you, and that we have hope for the future, which we do. We also pray, Lord, for our leadership. Your word requires us to pray for those in leadership over us. So we pray for the president, the vice president, the cabinet, all the people that are working so diligently to put forward the best effort to fight this. We pray for the Senate and the House and the leadership in those chambers, that they would come together and not use this as an opportunity to settle scores or anything else. And Father, we pray for our first responders, those that are impacted. I'm thinking of New York with probably 1,000 now that are infected with the virus because they're running into that building that's on fire. It's just unseen. But Lord, we pray for protection for them and their courage, their willingness to lay their lives on the line for the rest of us. Help us to respect them and to appreciate what they do for us each and every day. And finally, Lord, I pray for the nation that we would turn towards you in this moment of crisis, that we would once again seek your face. When these tragedies occur, we tend to look to you, Lord, and I pray that that would be the same right now, that people will open their hearts to the fact that you are the creator of the universe, that your son died for our sins, and that we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we are grateful in the powerful name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Jim, thank you so much for that powerful prayer.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, believe me.
We are so blessed to hear you and John and so many others weekdays here on the radio stations that are listening to us right now. Would you talk a bit about what is going on with Focus on the Family? I know you've started a new streaming service. Talk about Focus at Home.
Yeah, Focus at Home. This was a great decision by the team. We thought, how much of our content can we just get out there for free, put it on a streaming service? So we went to work on that just a couple weeks ago, and the team has done a great job. And working with Salem, in fact, who is KKLA and the other stations around the country, Salem's a wonderful friend to Focus. And we're using your streaming platform. Thank you for letting us do that. And what we're trying to do is get entertainment, edutainment, biblical truth into these homes that where the parents and the kids are all trapped together trying to figure out what to do. But Adventures in Odyssey drama, Adventures in Odyssey, the animated version, radio theater, which is terrific. These are award-winning radio theater episodes, Ben-Hur and others, which are just great for the imagination of the mind, along with That the World May Know, wonderful Bible study by Dr. Ray Vanderlaan, and Truth Project by Del Tackett. So we've got a lot of content we're loading up. We're going to continue to load up new content every week for folks. And I just encourage people to go to focusonthefamily.com/streaming, and they can download it for free. This is our way of getting content to you so you can spend your time in productive ways along with the other things that you're doing with your family.
Mm. Speaking of family, obviously Focus on the Family is at the forefront, and in some ways, this is a crisis, and in other ways, I know I've heard from scores of people where it's an opportunity to get reconnected to our family, because for so many of us, we were too busy, and the idea of having a meal together, just forget it, it's impossible. Talk about some of the opportunities that you're at the forefront, Jim. I'm just going to be really blunt about it. Focus on the Family. Your ministry has breathed God's truth among families for decades, and Dr. Dobson began this whole thing. Talk about the family, especially in these challenging times.
Well, you know, it's right now with the pressure, I'm seeing two outcomes. One is the family's pulling together. That's a good thing. Silver lining around a very dark cloud. We're able to kind of shrug off the demands of the day. We're not running out the door, going to meetings and work and catching airplanes and doing all the things we have to do that keep us so busy and distracted from kind of the core thing that's eternal, which is our family and those we love. And here we find ourselves, at least in Colorado and many other states, we're sheltered in. California, I know, is in that same spot. And now we're spending a lot of time together. And again, the outcome for many is very positive. Gene and the boys and I, we've been playing board games and having fun. And then we go to different areas of the house, spend a little quiet time together.
Yeah, much needed.
And then we come back. We'll have a little movie night. And, thankfully, we've got a little pool table so we can play some pool and build models together. And so all those normal things that maybe we did before we were so terribly busy. And then there's the other side, what I'll call the darker side. President Trump actually alluded to this. We are getting about 1,000 phone calls a day right now where people are stressed out. They have fear and anxiety that is off the charts. We have marriages that are failing. You know what? Spending that much time together when they really didn't know each other well or they have grown apart, they're noticing that they really don't like each other, and it's causing an uptick in divorce filings and other things right now. So we're doing all we can to engage these couples with content. We have about 100 counseling calls a day that we're doing, mostly in that area of fear and anxiety. And then, of course, the parents that are, you know, trying to cope with having their kids not in school all day, which provides them a break or, you know, an opportunity to be at work, etc. But now they're at home. They're all locked together. And they don't know those teenagers the way they thought they did and what's going on. So that's more the dark side of what's occurring. And I would say for all of the Christian community, I mean, this is a great time to do that assessment, to figure out what you're about and talk about it. One of the things Gene and I are doing, we're playing a great game that was created by a friend of mine, Chip Brown. It's called the Rank Game. And it's a variety of decks of cards that have four things, and you rank each other, and you try to guess, and you earn points that way. But what kind of texter are you? Never text, emojis only, brief or long? And it just opens up conversation between you and your kids about what's important to them. I mean, there's spiritual connections in that as well. You know, what's most important to you? Eating breakfast, going to church, and you just start ranking these things. It's called the Rank Game. But what a great way to get to know each other. We played it the other night. We spent 3 hours afterward talking about what we were learning about each other. And that's something I think you can look online. We're going to start offering that game in the next few days, I think. But there's an opportunity to grow here, and that's the point I'm trying to make. Try to find, don't be overbearing with spiritual training, but make sure your kids are hearing from you. How are you processing this moment? What concerns do you have? Even talk about that with your kids in an age-appropriate way. What makes you fearful? And let them see that, you know what, even mom and dad can be a little worried.
Jim Daly is president of Focus on the Family. Jim, I'll probably say I thank you many times during our Impact segment for being so transparent and honest, because I know we have a tendency to maybe spin everything is good, look at these opportunities that we've never had, and yet I know in our house, I mean, it's getting a little stressful from time to time, and the idea of really taking a moment, praying together, having alone time, all of this is adding to the mix, and I just will speak for many people. Thank you for all you do at Focus. I know there are many people that they feel safe enough and trustworthy enough in you to reach out to Focus and get some help. So thank you for all you do in that area as well.
Well, no, I appreciate that. And Frank, we've been friends for a long time, and I think about what you do on the show there at KKLA and all the great friends we have there in Southern California. Of course, Gene and I were born and raised there. We love Southern California. But it is that time. You know, one of the great things, Gene and I'm busy. We're all busy. And we don't spend enough time reading the Word together and praying together. But my goodness, right now, we wake up, we have a cup of coffee together, we sit on our couch, we read the Word together, we're praying together. I start getting into phone calls and meetings and all the things that I'm doing from my home, including going to the broadcast studio, by the way. We're still doing that, but not every day. And the point is, find ways to reconnect and rekindle those things that were so helpful to you perhaps a few years ago in your marriage, things that you always made time for that life has just eaten away at. Mm. It's a good thing to do. It's easy to go in a dark direction right now because there's so much honest. There's so much uncertainty. Like when I'm watching these briefings and these reporters are asking these terrible questions because they're just gotcha questions rather than really solid questions that would help us. And I just don't want to be like that. I want to be somebody who is moving forward, solving problems, seeking opportunity to help other people. And that's a good thing. That's what we should all be looking for in our relationships as Christians. Mm.
Jim, earlier today, as I often do coming to work, I listen to Focus, and you did a thing on trusting God, especially with our economic times. Would you share a little bit more about that interaction earlier today? And I know that's another area, financially, we're all kind of stressed out in certain ways.
Well, for sure. And that's one of the things. That was Steve Farrar. We actually did that from a men's group that he spoke at. And it was from 2008 when the stock market and the real estate market crashed. But what he had to share was so appropriate. And he talked about Matthew chapter 6 and Timothy, where do you put your trust? Into the uncertainties of riches? And what a great reminder that we as believers, we should not put our trust in materialism and our riches and those things that we store away for a rainy day. It's wise to do that. Joseph did that. Hopefully many of us have done that so that we can weather this storm. But at the same time, our faith and our hope and our trust is squarely in Christ. And, you know, we've had counseling calls happening where presidents of companies are calling, what do I do? I've got to lay off 300 people today. Mm. And we're able to pray with them and remind them that God can feed 5,000 people, and that there will be a way, and God will use a variety of ways to take care of people. And you're seeing that now, I think. And I'm just hopeful and glad that we live in a time when help can arrive. Yep. People can take care of each other. We're not in kind of a thousand years ago where it's every man for himself. We do a lot. I'm reading a great book called Imagine Heaven, and one of the themes in that book, this is a gentleman, John Burke, who compiled about 1,000 near-death experiences. And what's so amazing is how many people in that encounter, when they leave this earth and they have that moment on the other side, they say, you know, meeting the light, which I think we as Christians would say was the Father, Jesus, altogether. And when they have that encounter, they said the overwhelming sense of love that they feel, to me, is, again, one of the great evidences of how God is for us. He's not against us. He's not a grandfather with a club waiting to hit us when we do something wrong. His heart is for us, each one of us, sinner and saved. And I just am reminded of that reading the book Imagine Heaven, how comforting it is to know that God is in our corner.
Amen. Jim, a couple more questions, and then I'll bid you adieu. I would be remiss if I didn't bring up a wonderful article I saw in some of the mainstream periodicals about a week or two ago, you commenting on the online church. Can we talk about the state of the church a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, that one, you know, I think spiritually speaking, the scripture's pretty clear that we are to gather together. And I think it's based in the fact that God created us for relationship. So we need relationship. We're wired for relationship. But in this moment, we have to, of course, do this social distancing, and they don't want large crowds. And I get that. And I would encourage all of us to do the right thing when it comes to the government requests to try to flatten this curve and do all the things to stay out of groups. I get it. We don't have to fight that. We shouldn't fight that. But at the same time, the online side, I mean, my pastor, Pastor Brady at New Life Church, we had hundreds of people come to Christ through the message last week. People that don't normally go to church, listen to church, they're kind of peering in there, and they're able to get online. They don't have to get all dolled up and go, and they don't have to worry about the worship not being their kind of thing. But they can dial in, hear a few songs, and then hear a tremendous service, a sermon, hopefully. And in that, they're hearing the word of God, and they're opening their hearts up to God. So, you know, it's just like God to use anything to reach people, and he's doing it right now, and it's called technology. He's using it to get people to open their hearts to him and to accept him.
Jim, yesterday on the program, kind of changing things up and getting a little bit of a respite, I posed the question to the listeners, Lord willing, when this is over, if you will, what are you most looking forward to? And I'm just going to ask you that kind of as just a off the mark question to the president of Focus on the Family, my brother Jim Daly. What might you be looking forward to, if you've even spent any time thinking or praying about that?
I haven't. You know, that's so funny. I think as an orphan kid, I always kept my head down. I could only think about today. And in some ways, that's spiritually a good thing. But I like the idea of looking up and having hope for what's out there. But, you know, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that. I would think that there's a certain rhythm and normalcy to life that's comforting to all of us. So it's probably just that normal rhythm again. Sure. One of the things I've noticed in myself and in my relationship with Gene, I mean, the tension points seem to be a lot higher right now. And even at Focus, I'm seeing myself as more in that kind of driver mentality. Hey, we got to do this. It's yep. like commander all of a sudden, rather than influencer and friend. And I think that's born out of stress. You know, when we're stressed, we go to the styles in our personality that are a little more controlling and probably the things we don't like. So for me, I'm looking forward to getting back to kind of normal and rested and, you know, comforted in that normal way, that I could be myself again without having to make all these command decisions and take charge and be that hard driver, if that makes sense.
Well, I do know that it's reflective in a lot of the programming. I was listening Wednesday. It was a very amazing, transparent conversation on abortion. Yesterday, coming in, I heard about 10 minutes before I had to go, talking about children and connecting with them through reading. Today, we talked about Steve's piece on economy. So it's obvious you're very much cognizant of what's going on and trying to give us programming. So that hard work is definitely noticeable, and we thank you for that. Maybe a parting thought or something you want to share in closing. And I also want to circle back, because maybe not everyone began with Impact and listening to the live streaming that's available now. So let's talk about Focus at Home one more time, and then anything you want to share in closing, you're more than welcome to share whatever you'd like.
Yeah, I so appreciate that. I think the team's doing a fantastic job. You know, for us, unlike some of the programming that might be on Christian radio, we're more of a variety talk show, so yep. we can aim the program and ask questions of a variety of people. And we have really been aiming at getting the experts on, Dr. Francis Collins, the head of the National Institutes of Health. That's who the CDC reports into. Dr. Collins leads it all. He's the guy. So to have him come on, talk about his faith and as well as his scientific background and what he sees leading NIH right now and CDC and where it's going. Dr. Fauci works for Dr. Collins, and so it's great to hear him talk about Dr. Fauci right on down the line. And then the great doctors we had on the other day, David Hager, Dr. David Hager and Bill Lyle, talking about the abortion problem in the country right now and how that elective procedure is being allowed to suck up the medical resources. And it's such a controversy. I mean, we think of this. Think of these doctors that are taking the lives of babies while others are trying to save the lives of human beings. It's a glaring contradiction of what being a doctor is all about, what life is all about. So we're trying to show that, and I hope people tune in because we're really doing the best job we can do. And I think the response to some of the shows, 40, 50,000 responses into Focus, it's really amazing. And then when I look generally, the Focus at Home streaming, again, is just to supply everybody with good, healthy content, things that will entertain your kids but teach them some great lessons. That's what Adventures in Odyssey is all about. We hear from 30, 40, 50-year-olds that listened to Odyssey over the past 40 years, and they love it. And it's just such a great way to listen with your kids, kids of all ages, though. I mean, teens, too. My teens listen to it and then have a discussion about it. You don't need a big discussion guide from Focus. Just dial into the themes and listen to what's being talked about. They're always good and, again, very entertaining. So that's the goal, and that's not all of it. Radio theater and all the other content we're streaming today, starting today. So people are encouraged to go get that for free. It's our way of giving back to the community. And then the bottom line is if you're struggling, call us at Focus. We care about you. Just like your friends at KKLA, we have counselors who can help you. We can put resources into your hand. We can help you rethink the anxiety and the fear that you have, maybe the concerns that you have about your marriage right now or your parenting or where your kids are at. Let us pray with you. Let us help you. We're here.
Jim Daly is president of Focus on the Family. FocusOnTheFamily.com is their website. Jim, any final thought or two? And again, my goodness, thank you for blessing so many listening right now and all you do at Focus. We are so grateful for you and to be able to listen to your radio ministry each and every day on this radio station.
Well, thank you. And I really just want to encourage everybody. We're going to get through this together. You know, we'll take the cost of some lives, but we're going to get through it. By and large, the majority of people will do well and will bounce back. It's just going to be rough. But in this valley, learn more about who you are and what drives you. What are your triggers? And where can God work in your life to make you more like Him?
Love you, brother. Thank you so much for your time and all you do.
Thank you, Frank. God bless you.
God bless you as well. Jim Daly, Focus on the Family, weekday mornings here. 7:30 on our station in San Diego, our sister station AM 1210 K-Praise here on KKLA, and on K-Praise 12:30 in the afternoon here on KKLA 11:30. Jim Daly, John Fuller, FocusOnTheFamily.com is the website. It is a Friday, and maybe we'll open the phones and do a little open phone Friday. Anything and everything you may want to share, the phone lines are open. 888-528-2557. And we will continue with more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. If you did not hear the news, first of all, this is Bill Withers. Another song that he made so famous was Ain't No Sunshine, and he passed away Tuesday at the young age of 81. And we play that, obviously, in tribute to him. And it's very interesting. Doing this program, years ago, in my days at a rock station, in fact, I'll tell a little story. I think it's story time, everybody. Early on at KLOS, when I started working there in 1985, I was a screener for the talk shows. I did that for a couple of years and kind of got the radio bug, watching the whole process of radio. And also back then, rock music was a large part of my life, music in general as well. I still remember the night I saw the Beatles on TV. I was 9 years old, and my life changed forever. But this thing called radio is such an amazing medium. And so early on, I started at KLOS, and then I was a non-believer. That's important to the conversation here. One day, the program director calls me in and says, "Hey, have you ever DJed before?" Now, in my mind, a young 30-year-old man who was angry at the world and did not know God as my rock, what came out of my mouth? "Well, yeah, absolutely. I never DJed in my life." He said, "We're going to have you do the overnights on Friday and Saturday night. It's a midnight to six shift. You think you can do that?" Well, of course. So I started jocking on KLOS, playing music, and many of you know, because radio stations, especially in the number two market in the United States here in Los Angeles, you have consultants you pay a pretty penny to, and in music, stereotypically, most of the stations, you'll have a readout sheet of songs to play. Well, I had some really bad influences in my life. And I'll name him. I still consider him a friend, although we had a little bit of a falling out when the president was elected. He is kind of synonymous with FM rock radio. His name is Jim Ladd. He's in Northern California now. And I was influenced by Ladd, who did freeform radio. Unheard of. And so I started doing the Friday and Saturday night shift, and I think the statute of limitations in radio has gone by the wayside because this is like 90s. But I would break format regularly, and I would stare at the hotline wondering if the boss was going to call. One night in particular, for whatever reasons, I played Bill Withers' "Lean On Me." And I got a couple calls in the middle of the night, people saying, "Oh my gosh, thank you," but that's not really kind of in the rock format. And I would make up some story, you know, "We're doing whatever." I was just trying to entertain the masses in the middle of the night and play some good music, right? Fast forward to now, I would have no idea that I would be doing this for now 34 years. I didn't go to school for radio, truth be told. And I made sure and put it in my book, Light the Way Home. That's my biography. In the aftermath of a serious motorcycle accident where I was rear-ended by somebody doing very high speeds on the freeway not too far from where we broadcast. In my recuperating process, I left. I moved to Lake Tahoe in the middle of winter. Not a good move. In a cabin with no heat. Even a worse move. And I froze that winter just trying to make sense with what happened in my life. I knew there's no way I should have survived this. You would have hoped and prayed that I would have ran to God. I didn't. For a short time, I relied in my own will, saying I'm going to get my life straight. And because I really didn't know or was not willing, I guess is more to the point. Not willing to even stop long enough to question who this Jesus was or is. And a short time later, I fell back into my own ways. But I will say this. When I gave my life to the Lord 10 years ago, and I said, "Whatever you would have me do, Lord, I pray that I would be a courageous servant and to scream your praises, no matter the season." And we all know, those of you that are followers of Christ, sometimes our seasons are quite difficult. Maybe for some of you, this COVID-19 virus, maybe this is the hardest season you've ever been in. You know, maybe you've lost a loved one in heartbreaking circumstances. But I will say this, I could not live a moment without my Jesus, my Savior and Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I look back on my radio career at KLOS, which I did for 27 years. The first 24, I was a I say, a non-believing heathen living the life in the fast lane of rock music, meeting a lot of very gifted, talented artists. And then on a December afternoon in 2009, I had a radical encounter with the risen Savior that changed my life, and I just give him all the praise and glory. Truth be told, when I lost my job at KLOS in August of 2012, I thought radio was done, or I thought I was done with radio. And I started thinking about what would I do now, and I had some ideas. I even had this idea of going back to school, getting my degree, and being a high school basketball coach. That's kind of my first love, would be sports and basketball. It saved my life. And yet, shortly thereafter, I got a call from management here, and sadly, on the Monday evening of November the 19th, our dear brother Frank Pastore went down on his motorcycle. Maybe some of you were listening to that last broadcast that he did, where he almost prophesied what happened. I got a call, and everything that was going to come out of my mouth would have been a no, and what came out of my mouth was yes. And my first show that I did here filling in was Thanksgiving of 2012. And all I can tell you is this type of a ministry, this type of a radio program, I believe on some level God prepared me all those years to do this. And I cannot express enough to you the value, the importance, the truth in God's word. And maybe you are somebody that identifies as being a Christian. And before all of this began, you maybe fell away. Maybe you backtracked a bit. And maybe, as we got a call yesterday on the air from a man who has never known his son, who's 57, and I'm going to reach out to him and try to help him find a son. He's 80. You know, maybe we have these moments now where they're life-defining moments, where we want to get things right. We want to get right with God. That's what happened to me. I was asked on that December day in 2009, Frank, are you right with God? And my flesh wanted to scream, of course. But my spirit knew that I wasn't. And so if you're not right with God, if I can pray for you or help you in any way, we have so many wonderful, powerful radio ministries on this radio station. We just had our good friend Jim Daly on from Focus on the Family. Reach out to us. Let us know how we can help you or pray for you or just be there for you. Go to our website. Send me an email. And I mean this with every ounce of integrity that I have. We want to help you through this time. We want to be a voice to comfort you and give you God's truth in Scripture and let you know, yes, in the middle of the storm, God promises that He will never leave us. And for those of you that may not know who He is, you may say, yeah, I believe in God. My dear friend Yitzhak Adlerstein, who lives in Jerusalem, he's an Orthodox Jewish rabbi. He'll be calling us from Jerusalem Monday, just kind of checking in, talking about faith and all of these things we find ourselves in. He sent me a funny email today. He said, hey, I heard, and it was either a Pew Research or a Barna study, that said 44% of Americans say they believe this is a wake-up call, and they believe in God and are praying. And Yitzhak, kind of in his humor, said, I didn't know 44% of Americans really believe in God. So maybe you're one of those that say, oh, yeah, well, I'm spiritual, but religion, no, or Jesus, Christianity, no thanks. All I would ask that you just maybe continue to listen to this program or maybe one of the ministries and just spend a time right now asking yourself, are you right with God? You know, we as followers of Jesus, we know that the Holy Spirit is alive and powerful, and we need that power by his grace every moment of every day. I know for me as a man that gave my life to the Lord more than 10 years ago, I sense the Holy Spirit every moment of every day. It's definitely not me. I can wreak havoc in my own life if I follow my will, but when I follow his will and I say that prayer, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I sense a guidance and a direction and a blessing, if you will. So if you would say you don't believe in God, I would just ask that you maybe reconsider that one, especially in the times that we are confronted with right now. I am so grateful to say that I am not here to rely on man's truth or man's reality, even though we, in terms of the government, were called to submit to authority and pray for those in positions of authority, whether we agree with them or not. But I don't know how you would be able to do it if you don't know God. I did it for 54 years of my life, I will say that. But I knew almost every day of every day of my life, I knew that there was something missing. And it was a deeper understanding and knowing who God is and that he loves us for sure. Just right here, right now, and the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, he made for you too, whether you acknowledge him or not. He really wants to show you his love and truth, wants to show you the direction in your life. But real love, you know, is all about free will. Not a coercive love, not a fear-filled love like somehow we're going to have lightning bolts and judgment if you don't come to know him as Savior and Lord. That's not the God of the Bible. But if you're not right with God, I pray that you'll spend some time with that right now. And again, know you're welcome to call the program, 888-528-2557. We do this thing on Fridays called Open Phone Friday. We've got some callers on hold. If you want to call and weigh in, share with us how you're doing, feel free to call. We've got open lines. Jesus is Lord. I pray that if you don't believe that, that you will come to know that, which is much different than just belief. More of the Frank Sontag Show, we are grateful to say, we will continue next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. It is a Friday, and we are grateful that you are joining us. Open Phone Friday, if you'd like to participate, you can do that at 888-528-2557. Open Phone Friday is just simply your opportunity to call in, share anything you'd like, ask any questions at all. Know that you are more than, well, invited. Come on down. We have open lines, 888-528-2557. Terry in Winnetka. Terry, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
God bless you, Frank. This morning, I heard about Bill Withers' death, and it seems as though there are quite a few musicians dying, many of them in connection with the coronavirus, like Bucky Pizzarelli. And many other ones. It seems like a lot of us cannot go through this without being touched in one way or another. And I've heard lots of clips of Bill Withers' songs throughout the day from various places where I was listening, but nobody seems to mention one of my favorites of his, which is really reflective of the family he grew up in, and it's the song Grandma's Hand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a very sweet song. Didn't get a lot of extensive airplay, but nonetheless, a really, really sweet song I know a lot of people identify with.
Yeah, he kept such a level perspective on the music career, the fact that he could just walk away when labels wanted to refashion him into something else.
Yep.
I really respect that, and I heard interviews with him later on in his life, and he sounds as though, you know, if they were willing to play the game a little more his way, he'd be ready to go back. I don't know what his health issues were toward the end, but at least a few years ago, he sounded just as able to do the work of entertaining and communicating and reflecting our society as he ever was.
Yeah. Terry, thank you for your call. Thank you for sharing. Terry's call reminds me of another man that I was fortunate enough to meet a couple of times in life. He actually, I don't want to minimize his impact, but he was actually the first person to sing at Woodstock. His name is Richie Havens. I was a non-believer at the time, and I've actually not gone back to see if Richie was saved. Part of me suspected he was, the way he spoke on reflection, but another dear man who, when record companies started spinning the "you have to go this way," Richie went the other way, kind of to his own tune, if you will. Wonderful story that was in the press today is as follows. Christians across the United States have gathered outside of hospitals to pray for medical staff and patients during this pandemic. Many gathered outside of a number of hospitals, Albany, Georgia, Kissimmee, Florida, and Alexander City, Alabama, to name a few. Part of how this occurred, Jamie Gaudet, or Gaudet, is the one of the event's organizers and coordinators, said, the quote is, "The concept is that sometimes we feel helpless in the community. We know what's going on, want to help, but there's only so much you can do. This is an opportunity for us. We can all do this. The people that are patients or providers in the hospital, they get tired and they're missing their family. You may have seen some of the viral videos. I think of all the healthcare workers that are on the front lines and police and fire and all the first responders." Jim Daly said something very powerful. If you missed our impact segment at the beginning of this hour, go to our website and download it and listen to it. He said, in a matter of speaking, a lot of first responders similar to 9/11 are going into the fire right now. And some are paying the price. I think in New York, it's been reported 1,000 first responders have tested positive for COVID-19. But we do know, we are assured by the cross of Christ that we will get through this. And my prayer is that it ends now. I'm sure a lot of you would join me in that. But I also, I don't want to be misunderstood here, but as we go day to day, and we only have today, this is the day the Lord has made, I just see God at work in so many ways. And I'm going to be honest in the less than a minute that I have. You know, in the West, I just don't know if many of us have had the experience that is undeniable that God is at work. I have a dear friend who is an amazing man who has helped my ministry in ways that I can't even say. And he blesses other ministries as well. He went to Somalia recently. And I've heard stories of just God moving in developing or third world countries. Undeniable, right? Francis Chan is in Asia right now. I talked with him a few nights ago. He said, it's amazing what God is doing. And so my prayer is God's will be done right here in our country as well. And I just pray that we will continue to experience him maybe in ways we've never experienced before. K-Praise family in San Diego, we love you. Lord willing, we'll be back Monday. Those of you listening here in Los Angeles on KKLA, hour number two, and a blessing that I will share with you and much more next on The Frank Sontag Show.